PFT Media.
A War of the Kings, as the return of the Kings to the studio happens. It's here on Half True History.
Dan.
Pedro.
Chris.
Pedro.
We're back, baby.
Yes.
Reunited, cause it feels so good.
It is.
We survived the 4 years?
Yes. We survived the 4 years.
Well, have we? Yep, actually.
I mean,
technically, those 4 years, I don't feel like they're over.
I mean, really? Brady's joking with the president this morning. Yeah.
The real president, you mean?
The real president. The shadow cobra. Those people are so stupid. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Please, don't take the vaccine. Don't.
Please, don't.
Don't. Please, weed yourself out of this planet. Please.
Damn that cue. I'll get you next time, Trumpers. Next time.
Oh. So good to hear everybody without a delay.
I want more action. Yeah. Oh my God.
That was brutal.
The perfect return for episode 69. Oh yeah.
Nice. So many things have happened.
Yeah.
So many things. We're not touching the Cuban thing. But I'm just going to say Cuba. Hey, get this nice book called War Against All Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
And read that.
Mm-hmm.
Read that, and just decide: do you really want to be a colony?
Yeah. And you know, it's like I was telling you, it's not like we haven't touched on some of that before when we did our Cuban episode. It's a cycle that's about to go full forward again.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because I guess I just learned this. So during the Spanish War, Spain gave Cuba and Puerto Rico to the United States.
Right.
But they let Cuba go?
Right.
Why?
You know, we're not real, like, there's a few explanations. I haven't really read into it. But as long as we were able to keep Guantanamo, we were okay with the Cubans getting their independence. And I think that's because they had more influence politically at the time in the United States.
Okay.
Because you had, especially the rising in Tampa and such, like that money flow, the cigar businesses were really going well. And
the rum business or whatever.
There was some big, whereas the Puerto Rican money really was just centered in New York only at that time.
Makes sense.
But not in 1890 whatever.
Well, then any money would be going to Spain.
Oh, I'm saying, like, any contributions the Puerto Ricans made financially to the United States, it would only be Puerto Ricans in New York. Small organizations and such. Okay. They weren't really heavy-hitting businessmen like Jose Marti or Ybor.
Yes,
yeah, when did Puerto Ricans start making that trek into the mainland? Was that more in the 1900s, probably?
Yeah.
It was like after the U.S. took over, as opposed to Cuba, where they're already
when they took over the fields and started exporting the coffee and sugar. And
converted everything to sugar. Right. Sugar plantations.
Yeah. Earmark this. Let's revisit this, because it's too nice to see you beautiful faces.
It's good to see you guys again.
Up close.
Oh yeah, nice to see you're all safe. You got jabbed. You're both jabbed.
Got jabbed.
Should have asked that before you came in here. As we sit 2.5 feet away from each other, not even 6 feet between the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Forget your social distancing.
I'm just waiting for the under 12 one to come out, the little ones can go play.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, don't get that Johnson & Johnson.
It's not even available.
And they took it off the
market.
It's
having production issues as well. So I know someone who wanted to... there's a lot of people who prefer to get it because they still just want to get the one shot. Doctors are still telling people it's better for certain people based on their immunosystems to look for the one shot J&J. At least get something. Yes, even now, to this day, still get it, but it's just not that available.
Did the second shot do anything for you? It just my arm was sore and I was kind of like a little tired. Took a nice little nap.
I was sleepy for 2 days. Yeah, like the right afterwards, I fell asleep. And then the day after, I was just... dragon ass the entire day.
Wow.
So, but other than that, nothing really.
My dad, my parents obviously got him at the same time.
Right.
And my dad is the one with all the health issues, so we're worried about him getting the sickest.
Right.
Both shots, he was perfectly fine. My mom, first shot, she was like, blah. And then the second one, she was like wiped out for a day. So, and they both got the exact same thing at the same time. So,
takes you out, man.
We got it because, I got it because I was going to get it, but we were going to hold off with Jacob. But then we're going to go to Puerto Rico. So we're like, do we want to do a test 3 days before we fly?
Right.
Or just get the vaccine, show them the card, and be done with it?
Right.
You don't have to do both?
No.
Okay.
You just register the vaccine. They give you a QR code. Okay. So when you go on the plane.
Because I know some business, I think cruises maybe still want both. I think a cruise still wants the proof of vaccine and a test.
They might do it because of the new variant.
Yep, the new variant.
Well, even before the variant, but now especially, right? Yeah, absolutely.
And the state Supreme Court overrode Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, CDC versus Florida or whatever.
Norwegian
cruise line, yes.
Is going to get its way.
They're going to get their...
You need the vax card, though.
Or are they doing also... You can be not vaxxed, but you have to...
work in the steam room.
Might as well. You got to have the test, and then you also have to pay like $150 or something as some sort of like, I don't know, tax.
Here's your fiddle.
$150 to infect people?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Here's your fiddle, your basket of potatoes. The annual jig is at 5.
Yep, here's the shovel. The coal room is that way.
Down there, Patty.
If you see Leo DiCaprio, it's too late.
You've gone too far.
That iceberg is coming.
Yeah.
Looking at the studio, new additions around here, new posters.
Yes, you guys have not been in here in a year and year and 5 months.
Look at that.
I've had a lot of time
here by myself. What is this thing here?
That's an A24 poster. When A24 production movies.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, it's each frame of their still thing.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was the language from that movie with the squid that talked to Amy
those are
Adams.
Circles. Those are ink blot circles.
Okay.
Those look like you leave coffee mugs down in ink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Amy Adams deciphered it. Oh, yes.
Yeah, because she's so smart. That was a fun movie. Yeah, guys. Updated the studio, added some more stuff. We were bored for the last year or so. There was no one coming in, so I had to make it fun for myself. Also, I even have these. I mean, have you seen these? I got
the smart color lights there. Huh? That's nice.
Yeah. The studio's ridiculous.
See, I just bought the light bulbs.
Those are the light bulbs.
No, but I don't need this. I do it from my phone.
Oh, those I can do from my phone. People at home, we're talking about all the lights I put in my studio. Yeah. These lights I do from my phone. Those lights in the corners I do from my phone. And then these I use the remote. Yeah, because those have those corner lights going on.
Gotcha. I like that this wall has stayed true to its original purpose. I see Swervy Jones covered stuff up there.
Yeah, that's the nerdy nudie wall.
Yeah. It's getting its 2021 face because people are starting to put stickers around the boobs.
I've been doing that for a while. Yeah,
have you?
Yeah, because obviously we have like female guests here for certain shows.
Then have a dick wall. Put a dick wall around here for them.
I'd be down for a dick wall.
For some reason, there aren't as many exposed dicks in our culture as are exposed.
I know a celebrity that was on Loki, and in several movies that did a mean spread.
That was a calendar, which is cut up. So find me a D calendar.
We'll find you a D calendar that creates classic movies.
Yes, and we'll do a whole D corner.
Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason...
Eastern Promises?
Jason Siegel? What's his name?
I don't want no Jason Siegel. I want good-looking penis. Come on, give me a Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
Where's Diggs out? In what movie?
Hunger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He urinates, and you can see it from behind.
All right. Vigo just loves to show it up.
It's the fast member.
How about that Dr. Manhattan blue penis?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's like the big backdrop that all the other ones are on top of. Yeah,
and the black one.
Uh huh.
Because there's the one from the HBO, right? HBO showed it.
Did they show it?
I can't recall.
I don't remember.
Oh my goodness, I can't recall now. I love that show.
Yeah, that show is dope.
And I like that actor. He's going to be Candyman.
Yo!
Have you seen that Candyman trailer?
Scary.
Oh my goodness. Looks good.
Candyman.
Yeah, it looks good.
I'm so excited. I just came here and just started shooting questions at Crespo.
Yep.
So I was like, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, have they ever been in a movie together?
Yeah, and I was like, that's a great question. I don't think so. No, they have not been in a movie together.
Wow.
And I think it's too late, I was saying, because De Niro's way too far at the end of his career for him to get a prestige enough project to bring the both of them together. That's hard.
Not going
to
happen.
You're going to need at least $40 million just to pay the both of them.
Yeah.
And then you need money to make the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's expensive. That's expensive.
Hi, buddy. What are we tackling today?
All right. Well, we are going to head into one of the more famous European wars, the War of the Hundred Years. So,
That one that lasted 17 days?
No. This one does. It actually lasts 114 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So they rounded down.
Okay, so hold up. What's the one that I'm thinking about? It was the Israelis and...
Oh, you're thinking of the Israeli 7-day war.
That's what it was? 7-day war, but it lasted like less than that?
And maybe like about six days or so, something like that, yeah. Or it's a 6-day war. Yeah, it was a 6-day war and it lasted 5. But yeah, it was less than the actual... Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about it. That's...
100-year war.
100-year war, yeah.
Who's in this?
France and England.
Okay.
Classic.
Classic.
Classic World Cup matchup.
The boot.
This is the big throwdown. Right.
All right. What year?
We are starting off in 1337.
All right.
Wow.
1337. And so we are at, really, the Italians, the Renaissance is just really starting. Okay. The Divine Comedy was published maybe about 10 years ago. And England and France are having a little bit of a dispute regarding the crown of France.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you remember, I think we've talked about it at least once or twice. The English monarchy is related to the French monarchy. Cousins through William the Conqueror. And so the head family that's in charge, the royal family, is the Capet family.
Okay.
Capets are in charge, and for as long as the Capets are in charge, everything's okay because they are the direct line. England has a claim, but it's like a few cousins down.
Does is this the whistles from Braveheart?
No, it's called Maeve's March. It's about it's an Irish heavy metal band called Crouchin'.
This is heavy metal in Ireland?
It's coming.
It'll get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a Jethro Tull.
But they do, yeah, they basically, yeah, they do a lot of medieval and type of rock. So it starts out that eventually the Capet line will die out.
Okay.
And they're going to get overthrown by another French family called the Valois. And that's where the throwdown happens. Because England's going to claim the throne... Because they believe that they have a more direct bloodline to the Capet than the Valois do. And that's when the fighting is going to start. They tell France, hey, give it up. France is like, no way. The Valois are like, no, this is our crown. We want it fair and square. And so the battle really kicks off. And a lot of people are expecting the French to be able to win this battle very easily.
Okay.
France is bigger. France has more money. France has more people. France has more knights.
Sounds like they should win.
Exactly. Yeah. In the old medieval world, they would have won. But things are changing in the 1300s.
This isn't the old medieval world. Right. This is the new medieval world.
But the French people are soft with their wine and their bread and their little flutes.
And their giant army.
So this is the Battle of Crécy. And...
Say that again.
It's Crécy.
Okay.
And you have about 10,000 Frenchmen to maybe about 5,000 Englishmen, something like that. Oh, just a huge, disadvantage there. But the English have basically advanced their technology with a new type of innovation known as the longbow.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So were there already bow and arrows?
Yeah.
Right? But this is the first one that's meant for real long range?
It's the long... Yeah, it's made from the tree of a yew tree. Y-E-W, the yew tree.
Okay.
Which is only growing in England.
Ooh.
Or in other northern
What's
regions.
What's so special about this stupid tree?
It's more pliable than any other wood that's been used for bow.
Okay.
Therefore, it can build up more potential energy and farther, faster, harder.
Ooh.
Nice. Daft Punk.
Right.
I was going to say Kanye.
Oh, yeah, that would make more sense. I'm thinking bigger, stronger, faster. Right.
And because it can go higher, because it arcs better, it comes down with a velocity that can pierce through French knight armor.
Oh, wow. That's why they do that.
Uh-huh. Right. And then you just see this black cloud of death coming towards you.
There's a great representation of that in like 300, mm-hmm. where it blots out the sun. There's one in Zhang Yimou's Hero, where Hero, there's so yes. many arrows.
It's Braveheart?
Like, yes, mm-hmm. when there's so many arrows in the sky. Like, holy cow. It's like a cloud. It's scary.
It looks like bees. Yes. Like a form of bees.
Sounds like it, too. It's like, you're a buzzing coming. Like, what is that? It's getting louder.
And so the French, you know, they're charging with their knights and everything, but before they can even get halfway through the field, they're being decimated by wave after wave of these arrows.
Nice.
And it's slowing them down so much. And another advantage that the English have is that anyone can use the longbow. You can train a peasant in 2 weeks to shoot a bow and arrow. A knight takes 16 years to train. And it's expensive with all the armor and everything like that.
Yeah.
So the France is losing over and over again its most valuable resources, the knight, which at the you know, at the time in the medieval world was basically like having a B-2 bomber or a strike drone at the time. It was the
It's like your tank. It's yeah, your tank.
It was the weapon. You had more, you were going to win. But not anymore, because even if they kill, you know, hundreds and hundreds of longbowmen. Again, you just got to grab a few hundred more peasants and teach them how to pull a string back in 2 weeks, and they're back again, finishing you off.
Those resources are easier to replenish than the knights.
Right. It's a whole new suit of armor. It's new war horse you have to train. You have to...
Yeah, all that armor with, like, the holes in them. Like, man, I just made this armor.
Uh-huh. You got to melt it down, redo it, and... and the horse... Yeah, the horse, too, takes time to train, and the person. So it's... France is very much crippled in the first few decades of this war.
The first few decades.
Yes.
That's crazy. How did they survive so many, like, the first few decades? Did they just have so many people already to lose?
That it's the same reason that China survived the Japanese invasion in World War II. It's just so big, and there's so few Englishmen to actually take all that land.
Wow.
So by sheer size alone, France is able to hold out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and it is this... back and forth for a little while. They actually have to have a truce for 14 years because each side has lost so many people, they have to wait for the next generation to grow up.
What?
Yeah.
They just call it time out. Wee. I said, excuse me, mob. Monsieur.
They have to wait until...
It would have been great if it was a kid that ran into the battlefield, gave a note.
Yeah.
Can you wait till I'm of age so we can fight?
Can you wait till I have hair on my arms?
Yes.
And adding to it as well was the plague was starting to hit the rest of Europe.
Nice. Mask up.
Right. So, unlike us, they decided to lock down for a little while.
Well, it's like, do you want to die in the battlefield or you want to die in the...
What's the guy, the actor, Sean Bean? Didn't he do a movie...
called Black Death. Yeah. Yes.
Black Death.
Yeah, great ending. Okay movie, great ending.
If you know Sean Bean, you know Sean Bean.
You know where the you know where this going is going.
He's the opposite of LL Cool J.
Yes.
It's in his contract.
He has
to die. LL Cool J, I do not die.
Absolutely not. Ladies love him alive. Not dead.
I think the only time Sean Bean has not died is when he was stuck in the Silent Hill world for the rest of his life. I'm trying to think of times.
That's a death on its own.
Yeah, like
there must be a spiritual death.
Yes.
I'm dead. At the least.
France gets a break in 1372.
Okay.
The King of England and his son, Edward the Black Prince, both die.
Okay.
And they were really the juggernauts here that led the English army.
This is not Edward Longshanks or whatever it is.
This is Edward IV. No. Okay. Edward I is Edward Longshanks. So this is a little bit afterwards. All
okay. So Braveheart's already done.
Already done, yeah. Okay. Wallace already chopped up. And so it goes next to Henry IV. Yeah, we're talking about it. Henry IV is going to rule for a little while. It's a back and forth. They're not as successful. They're not as good. So the French are able to gain some of their land back. At the same time, though, the French nobility are too busy fighting amongst each other to actually capitalize and win the war. So they have the opening, but every French noble wants to be the head commander that wins the war. So they're too busy playing politics to actually be organized enough to push the English out. Right. So they'll take a few lands back, Gascony, Brittany. They'll take some of the Aquitaine back, but nothing enough to push the English out completely.
Just enough to keep prolonging the war.
Exactly. And the war will go on yet another few decades. Then we get into the year 1400s. We get into the 1400s there.
That's big longbow business, prolonging the war.
And this is where the English will now have a comeback.
Ooh, I like a good comeback.
Okay, here we go.
Don't call it a comeback.
Wait, the English have a comeback?
The English are going to have a comeback.
Okay.
Yeah, because the French have been doing it pretty good. But then how have the English been surviving with the French? Because, like you said, they're just, they weren't able to get it together enough.
They can't also cross that
and the English
river.
Channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the English Channel. So, and yet not getting enough.
Yeah.
Finally, Henry V becomes King of England.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who like your Shakespeare, you can watch either the Ken Branagh version or the Tom Hiddleston version, whichever one you prefer.
Oh, that's a tough choice.
Right? Kenneth Branagh.
And we know that famous speech, the St. Crispin's Day speech at the Battle of Azincourt.
I know that from Tombstone.
Yeah. A lot of people thought he wasn't going to do it. He was, as a kid and a prince, he was known as just Prince Harry the Wild One. He was out with ne'er-do-wells and stuff his entire life. And so no one thought he was going to be serious when he took the job. And then he really just turns it around once he gets the crown and becomes this supreme commander.
Such a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
Batman was in it.
Yeah. Do you have Ken Branagh speech?
The bird guy? The birdman is in it?
Could you pull it up? The Ken Branagh St. Crispin's Day speech?
Yeah, yeah. The birdman from Flash is in it.
Yes.
Batman is in it.
Ryan Blessed is in it. And Christian Bale is in it.
Gordon's alive! He's alive? Brian Blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Such a... That guy, that man has a voice, son. Oh
my God, just booms.
And a huge mouth and huge head, too.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's like a cartoon. He looks like a Snapchat filter. That's how... the way... You know what I mean? It's just... So, yeah. So Kenneth Branagh does the speech and rallies the troops.
Destroying the French army again at the Battle of Azincourt and really paving a straight path all the way to capturing Orléans, which is basically...
Who's the head dude in France? Nobody, because they're all battling to see who wants to be the leader?
It's King Charles VI, but okay. He doesn't control his nobility very well. And he's actually having a psychotic break at this time.
Oh, the nerves.
Mm-hmm. So he's developed a psychosis. He is at the point where he doesn't even remember his son, Prince Charles, who's supposed to become Charles V or Charles VII. Besides,
they are all fresh. Oh, here's the speech. These are
fearful odds. Oh, that we now
so this is but Henry V rallying his troops.
Men in England that do no work today.
What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland.
Kenneth Branagh, look at it. It's a piece of ass right there.
Oh, my fair cousin.
All these guys are muddy.
To die.
Walking around in red and blue suit.
Mm-hmm.
And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more.
Let him stay in England.
Proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host.
The music's doing a lot, too.
I was about to say, the music definitely helped.
When the violins pick up.
His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse.
There it is, right?
We're gonna listen to the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
Oh, yeah, dude. You gotta. Here comes Batman. He's by the bridge. Yes, what's up? Pick me up. Thank you. I can't make it over this step.
Thanks, extra.
There you go. He just nudges Batman.
He that shall see this day and live old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is Saint Crispin's.
That's a big dick move right there, son. Because it's pretty much saying, it's like, yeah, and then I'll look at my scars.
On Crispin's day.
Yep.
And now he just says,
old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember.
Man, he looks young, right?
Yeah.
What crazy looking.
He did that day.
He's what, 30 in this, maybe?
Familiar in their mouths as household words. Harry the King.
Maybe 35.
Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son. And Crispin shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world. But we in it shall be remembered.
Remembered.
We happy few.
We band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother.
Yeah. Pretty much saying, hey, listen, realistically, we're not all going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we make it.
When we hey, I'm remembering you all. That's it.
And the ones that left.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be a cowards.
They're going to get the stink eye when we get back.
Where's Rachel?
Where's Rachel?
So good.
Where are they?
That was in 1415, the Battle of Azincourt.
Actually, that was 1989.
Yeah, thank you, Presswell, for correcting that.
It's just before Denzel comes riding in. By 1420, he has convinced Charles VI to sign the Treaty of Troyes, in which declares that Henry V will become King of France on the death of Charles VI.
Okay.
Henry marries one of the French princesses to solidify the union.
Okay.
They have a child.
I have a child.
And then Henry V shits the bed.
Oh, no.
Literally dies of diphtheria.
Oh.
Ooh.
Right after.
So in the contract it says, if you shit the bed, you cannot be king of France.
The crown shall not be on the head.
Right.
But he marries a princess from France.
Right.
And they have a son.
They do.
So he becomes...
He becomes, technically, by the treaty, the king of France and England.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to care about a toddler, and no one's going to give credence to the treaty because some toddler... has the throne.
Oh, no.
Especially the older brother of that, the older half-brother of that toddler, the Dauphin, Prince Charles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not giving up. And he and French nobles are going to continue to fight. The English start coming again. And even though they don't have Henry himself at the front lines, it's still his commanders. And again... the French are getting shellacked over and over again.
And who's running this gamut now? Henry VI?
Henry VII. Henry VI is not running the gamut. He's a little baby right now.
Okay.
It's the viceroys and such that are taking over. Okay. Yeah.
The right hands.
I can't remember the regent.
Stephen
at the
III.
Right.
Mm.
I'm sure his name was William or Henry, though. Right. So it's desperate. At this point, France is really at the point of desperation.
I don't know who's the good guy or the bad guy in this story yet. I can't figure it out.
Interesting.
There's their headquarters in Lyon, the last really stronghold of the French, and the French are looking very, very desperate, and they need a sign of hope. And here's that half-true history part of half-true history, that legend that starts to rise.
Van Damme.
As just one faithful day, Charles hears this commotion outside, and his generals bring in, you can go ahead and, yeah, bring in the, this 16-year-old girl.
What?
Yeah.
A girl?
This little girl. Like, just, yeah, this teenage girl.
Shut up.
Mm. And she's from the city of Ark.
Shut up.
And yeah, it's this milkmaid, basically, named Joan.
Shut up! What?
Mm-hmm. And this was, like, she comes in saying, oh, you know, she's been hearing voices from God and messengers that she's here to help the French, to save France, and etc., etc. So, and she's so charismatic. She has the villagers believing and everything, and the generals... Something about the conversations that they've had with Joan makes them think they have to take this person to the prince.
You know what's amazing? There's so many people that are like that nowadays, and we just lock them up in a mental institution.
Or we correctly diagnose them as having schizophrenia and then give them medicine.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, but back then, I was like...
Let's go with this one.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the Christian Bale Moses movie, Gods and Kings?
No.
Exodus, Gods and Kings?
No.
That movie posits that Moses started, like, seeing the burning bush and talking to God after getting hit in the head with a very large rock.
That's fair.
Then he had a head injury, and then for the rest of the movie, he starts talking to God and stuff and seeing things.
Sometimes you need that reset button.
Hold up. I'm not kidding you not.
The King of Jews saved people because of a concussion?
Well, Moses wasn't the King of Jews, but yes, it was a concussion that started
everything. Who's the other guy in it?
Joel Edgerton plays the Pharaoh.
Okay.
It's the whitest Egyptian cast you've ever seen.
Yeah, I think I remember that getting, like,
It got properly bashed for its casting, yeah.
Moses.
I still saw it, though, because it's a really sad movie.
Christian Bale plays Moses?
Yes.
So here's where the facts totally go into the gray.
Where's my commandments?
Charles invites Joan to speak with him in the throne room privately.
Okay.
And according to the myth, she is able to answer questions about his personal life that he has never mentioned to anyone before. And that starts to make him believe that this might be someone who was brought in by divine force.
I wonder what those questions were. Probably some stupid question that a man thinks that a girl would know. Yeah.
What is my favorite type of food?
Steak? Am I circumcised? No.
Wow, she's good.
How does she know?
How does she know? She's never been in my bedchambers.
What's my favorite drink?
Wine?
Oh.
There's like goblets everywhere half filled with wine. How does she know? How does she know?
If that wasn't enough to add to the mythos of this great story here.
Oh, no.
Additional thing. The generals had said as they were riding to Lyon, Joan was, you know, with them, and she told them out of nowhere in the countryside to stop. And they stop. They're like, okay, well, why? She's like, I hear something. I need you to stop. And she points to an old rundown monastery. And she says, I am told to go here. And she makes her way to the monastery, right to the altar. And she tells the men, the soldiers, to rip up the floorboards. And they rip up the floorboards. And Pedro, do you remember when I said Charles Martel built 4 cathedrals and buried his sword in one of them?
Shut up!
The true hero of France would find it in France's time of need? Yes. That was the sword of Charles Martel under the altar.
Yo!
Yeah.
Yo! This bitch is bad.
Uh-huh.
Is that a good Joan of Arc movie?
Not good.
Like this, because the way you're telling this story.
There's a couple, but they're not good.
It's.
Well, you just made God mad.
Oh, that wasn't you?
No.
That's from outside.
There you go.
Yo.
Thunder and crazy out there.
Yeah, they always try and go weird with those Joan of Arc movies.
Yeah.
You know? Don't really
like. Instead of just telling the story as people know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, they test it out. They give her armor. They give her a sword. They have her lead.
Did they give her the sword?
Yeah. That's the legend is she had the sword with her during the battles. We don't know what happens afterwards, though. It disappears after the Hundred Years' War.
Okay.
And with Joan of Arc and this new morale, they take the city of Orleans back from the English. So a lot of people theorize, was Joan actually a really good commander? Was she divinely, you know, inspired, anything like that? And really, it's hard to say, but a lot of it probably boils down to the motivation.
Yeah.
And I think the motivation really helps is because of what she was. You have this pure kind of virgin girl on a white horse type of feeling. And for a lot of people, Joan represented France itself. Pure and innocent and Catholic and righteous.
But they make her sound like she was a badass fighter.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We know she went in there and she didn't come out.
She's like, great at speeches and motivation. Right. And, you know.
She went into the battles and they were victorious. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So whether or not she was a great commander or just an amazing influencer, still to be seen. But, you know, it makes for a great, just what she is made for such. Not only is she this kind of Virgin Mary symbol for people, but she reminds, you know, old soldiers of the daughter they're fighting for, of the sister they've left, of the wife they've left. It's for every soldier, it's a different thing that Joan represents.
Yeah.
She is France. And that's good enough, really, to move the French forward. And something else has now changed as well. Because we're now into the, like I said, we're into the 1420s. Things are getting a little bit good in the trade route. Marco Polo's been hanging out with Kublai Khan. And the Italians have something new that they want to sell the French that is going to shift the balance and make the longbow not as dangerous, which is cannons.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Firearms. So the French still have that money, and the Italians are a little bit more likely to help the French than the English. So now not only have Joan of Arc, but we also have firearm brigades now starting to do some damage to these English strongholds.
Yeah. How come they didn't sell them to the English? Or to both sides? Why choose a side? Was France just closer?
I think France was just closer.
Just literally.
I think probably had more money. Yeah, the money in general.
Yeah, they'd pay more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would have been such a hike to get all the way. You had to go around Spain to get to England.
To sell them, yeah. Then you were talking about the marked up prices.
Right, yeah, so, you know.
Sucks to be England.
Yeah, things going well. Then, unfortunately, Joan is betrayed, as all great revolutionary leaders are. She goes through the county of Burgundy, which has been allied with the English, but is promising to be a neutral site so that they can discuss. Well, of course, that's a trap. The French soldiers sell Joan out. A few of them, obviously not everyone, but the Burgundians send Joan to England. They accuse her of witchcraft because the reason for France's victories was not because of God, but because of a deal she made with the devil.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
Right. And so the 19-year-old Joan of Arc in 1422 is burned alive.
In England?
In England.
Okay.
And they're like, bam, we just cut the head off the snake. But as we know from Haitian revolutions and Mexican revolutions and everything like that, that doesn't do it. If anything, it just makes the French angrier.
And inspires
more. It's still going to take 30 more years. But by 1452... the Hundred Years' War is over, and France is victorious and pushing the English out. So
at that point, it's just like almost endurance. We've outlasted the English invasion so long, and we finally had enough advancements that we can beat them back.
Right.
To the point where they give up in trying to get in here.
The English monarchy is collapsing. Henry's young boy is now an adult, and he's mismanaging things. Mm-hmm.
Henry, the fifth is this? The sixth? Henry
the sixth.
Yeah.
The economy's bottoming out, and right after the War of the Roses, or right after the Hundred Years' War, we're going to get into the War of the Roses because England is such so divided afterwards.
Such a mess.
Yeah.
Wow.
And who ends up being King of France?
Charles the VII.
Okay.
Will take over, and he will kind of start to reform France, but it's actually his son later on, Louis the XI, who is known as the Universal Spider or the Spider King. Starts to bring France really to greatness and brings France's renaissance.
The let them eat cake situation already had passed?
No, we haven't gotten there
yet. We haven't.
That's 1800s, right?
It's 1780s.
I was close.
So okay. We're still a good 300 years away.
And that guy with the with the mole,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But there we have it: the War of the Roses. I'm sorry, the Hundred Years' War. England falls into a hundred to War of the Roses, and they become like
and the introduction of Joan of Arc.
Yep.
Starts with longbows, ends with cannons.
Cannons.
Joan of Arc's in there, sort of in the middle somewhere.
In the episode of Devil's in the Details, we spoke about the significance of this when you put the two fingers up.
Right.
To us is peace, but for the English is like an obscene gesture towards the French.
Right.
To show that they still have their fingers, their bow fingers.
Their bow fingers, right, because they won the Battle of Azincourt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and there we are. Whatever they're putting there. So, thank you everyone for being here for this journey. And finally...
that thunder's bleeding through, right?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, it's pretty loud. Yeah.
It fits
the feeling of it. I like it. It's very godly. Thank you for coming full circle with that French king's legend that we laid down so long ago. I was waiting to come in studio.
Yeah, we have a few topics I've been waiting for in studio stuff. So now that we're back.
Yeah, now back. And that sword disappears again. I don't know any other legends where it comes back, but...
It's still missing?
Let's go, Pedro. Let's go to France.
Let's go to France.
Come on, guys.
Who knows?
I'm the guy.
Let's get some medals.
You imagine? I find it, and they'll be like, oh, the Puerto Rican that was born in the city of, in the island of Manhattan.
Walk into people's buildings, like, tear up this floor right here. Yeah, right. Right here.
Tear this church. Stop the wedding. Right here. Check it.
This has been Half True History with... Chris Crespo, Pedro Lima, and myself, Dan P. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next page.
Au revoir.
A PFT Media production.